two men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to... Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
He's blank. I'm Branham. It is time now for the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket to continue. Before that, though, 0754. What time is the Astros tonight? They're at 7:10, first pitch on Shin 2. On Shin 2. Rockets are on Shin 1. Astros are on Shin 2. What happened to the Will House? Question mark, question mark. This show is way better. Thanks. We think so, too. 0974. We'll give him credit for being durable, though. Is that, who's that? I don't even know who he's talking about. Maybe Jalen?
Or Jabari. Jabari's been durable. He doesn't have a massive upside, but he's played a lot this year.
What would you, I mean, I think he can be a 14-10 guy that hits 40% from threes. Jabari, like best case scenario.
I think that he's a double-double every night. I think he can give you a 34-35% three-point shooting percentage from time to time. He's going to be a fairly consistent face-the-basket shooter. I think some of the things will be from a maturity standpoint. He'll learn when he's got a smaller guy on him. He doesn't necessarily have to shoot a jumper. He can put him on his tailbone and back him down and get what he wants. But I don't see Chris Bosh as being the end result of Jabari. I feel like he's more of a guy that's going to be a really key starter role player for better players.
Same. I don't think he'll have Bosh's offense. 0974, if your rankings for Rockets building blocks are changing that frequently, you're too reactionary game to game. I've been nearly the same all season up until Amin's emergence. Shingun, Amin, Jabari, Tari, Whitmore, Trey Green, or at least do not extend him. Still think he has a super high ceiling, but don't trust him. So he was talking about Jalen's durability. They came in backwards, though. They came in at different times. It's not game to game. We're reacting month by month. So there's that. Anyways, let's get to the Fight Club bracket for today. Yesterday, we had two matchups in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Two more people advancing to the round of eight, to the Elite Eight. Maybe they're not so elite, these guys, but advancing to the Elite Eight. First matchup, we had Sean Salisbury and Brian McDonald, formerly of the Killer Bees. Sean Salisbury beat Brian McDonald 75% to 25%.
As he should. I just think that he is a tough son of a gun with a temper that no matter what his age and what his flexibility is at this point in his life, Salisbury's that guy that wants all that smoke, and I don't think Brian does, and I think Brian would admit that. So I think that they got that right.
Yeah, I would. This was a no-brainer. Salisbury, I think, wins in every type of way. Like, there's no way that Brian's taking this fight where Salisbury's losing the fight. There's some guys that, you know, if you knock them out early, you got a better chance. If it goes to the cards, then the other guy's got a better chance. Salisbury, if it's a knockout early, Salisbury's got a better chance. If it goes to the cards, Salisbury's got a better chance. If it ends in the middle rounds, Salisbury's got the better chance. I just didn't see a way.
You're right. It was Brian a no-brainer. You're right.
Oh, man, you're on a roll.
I'm flying today.
That one was a little better than the last one. 1.2.
Oh, stop.
1.2 on that one. Grade the blankers joke, 713-780-3776. We had that Larry and Stafford, Paul Gallant exhibition fight. This was not in the tournament. Larry and Stafford won at 57%, 43%.
Paul actually, he, on the way out today, mentioned to me that he really appreciated our support, but he wasn't sure he could beat him, and I was very disappointed that Paul was showing me kind of a different attitude than I needed to see from him.
You weren't happy with his confidence?
No, I said, you can stick and move. You can get around him and then pick your spots. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, Paul, you disappoint me.
Where did Paul think Larry and Stafford was going to get him?
I guess once he got him on the ground.
See, I don't think Paul lets it get to the ground.
He shouldn't.
Plus, he's also kind of a wiggly fella. Paul, where I think he can escape.
Wiggly fella. Okay.
You don't think? Like, he's
tall
and lean.
No, that's an interesting way of putting it, but yeah, he's elusive.
Like, he's tall, lean, kind of quick, has, like, you know, lean muscle. I feel like he could wiggle out of some
I do too.
Ground and pound.
And I think even as he's being taken down, I think he can get the blows necessary to escape.
Yeah, I think I like Paul's chances on that one. And then the second matchup in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket was Lance Zierlein beating Glenn Davis 54% to 46%. So Lance advancing as he beats Glenn Davis in his bum leg. That's too bad. Glenn had a good run.
It was so funny last night, Jeremy. On the way home, I'm listening to Glenn. And Glenn's like, someone please fill me in on what this fight club is. But if this fight club is something important, then soccer people, get behind me on this thing. And it was very entertaining.
He didn't get the support necessary.
Evidently not.
Soccer didn't matter enough.
No, it really didn't last night.
Lance Zierlein, football matters in his mock drafts. Two more matchups in the Killer Bee Fight Club today. The first of the two matchups features the godfather of Houston Sports Radio, John Granato versus Landry Locker. I don't have a good nickname for him. Do you have a nickname off the top of your dome?
The Hurt Locker.
Okay. So John Granato and Landry the Hurt Locker going toe-to-toe. A-Rod, who's arguing for who in this first of two matchups in the Killer Bee Fight Club tournament?
Let's have Joel argue for Locker and Jeremy argue for Granato.
Go ahead, Joel.
I don't know the guy, and I don't like the guy because he's soft. And you got me arguing for him?
Love it.
The Hurt Locker. Oh, because his takes are immaculate and he is strong. So, therefore, he's going to come out. The problem I got is if Granato says anything he doesn't like, he's going to block him without ever meeting him. So, I don't know if those blocks count in the fight. And I'm not sure that he's got a chance because I already have fought for John in the past and I believe in the power of the people as it relates to a Granato.
You're saying Locker's defense is impregnable because he's out there blocking. He might have an impregnable defense, but Granato's got an impetuous offense. Granato's a legend. Granato is an athlete, too. Granato plays sports every single day. Every single day, Granato's playing sports.
It's true.
Granato's also a former collegiate quarterback. Granato keeps in very good shape. He's got an excellent tan, very good beard, and a great hairline. John Granato easily, with wisdom, with experience, with athleticism, with ring, what is it called, ring IQ? There's a word for it. I don't remember the word for it. Ring something. John Granato wins this fight going away as he punches his ticket to the Elite Eight. Austin?
Yeah, I feel Granato on this one. Just, I really don't have a reason. I just feel like he's a fighter.
Well, because you know that you'll get fired if you pick the other guy. So, and you've seen that happen. So you side with the guy that butters your bread. Good call on your part, Austin.
I mean, that is why we're in the drive time now.
That's exactly right.
Our second matchup of the day. It's in the Kenny Hand region. A little highway to hell versus highway to hell here. Seth Payne, former Houston Texan, one half of PP on the morning show on the highway to hell, taking on The Show, who is the sidekick on the Clint Sterner show in the afternoon. Who's arguing for who here, A-Rod?
Joel will argue for Seth Payne, and Jeremy will argue for The Show.
Oh, thanks. All right, well, The Show's got a wrestler's nickname, so I like his chances through some sort of osmosis there, that if he has a wrestler's nickname, that he must be able to get down like a professional wrestler, and it, you know, still matters, and it's still very real. But an athlete, I understand he's lost a good amount of weight training for this fight against former NFLer Seth Payne. And plus, his favorite team's the Kansas City Chiefs. His favorite team's the Chiefs. He knows champions. He roots for champions. And he is a champion.
Come on, man. It's an ex-NFL guy that's also not going to be outfought in the ring because of the fact that he went to a very prestigious, I believe, Ivy League school. He's a smart guy. He's a strong guy. He's a tough guy. And if The Show shows, it's going to be show and tell. Tell you what, Seth's going to put him down. Seth's stronger. If he's losing weight in The Show's case, that means he's losing muscle. He doesn't have strength. He won't have endurance. Seth is going to punish him, take him to the mat, finish him early, and this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I didn't like my chances here. A-Rod.
Yeah, I got to go Seth Payne. It seems pretty easy.
Yeah. I had to fight. I had to. I had to fight.
More than I can say in the first matchup of the day.
I had to give my shot. There's been a couple of Twitter comments.
Oh yeah.
PW says Granato used his obscene wealth to pay some guy to fight for him, so he's the million-dollar man. Everybody's
got his paisans, though, too. He's got the Italian guys behind him. They're going to take out whatever he can.
I mean, it's one-on-one. They're in the square circle. You're not supposed to get your, you know, monster.
What if the referee's Italian?
I mean, it could be a fix.
That's exactly right.
And someone else says Lockdog got stat with one arm tied behind his back.
Okie dokie. Lockdog or the Hurt Locker, because he gets his feelings hurt.
So we'll see which of the two advance to the Elite Eight tomorrow. We got our first ticket punched to the Final Four, so stay tuned. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What's wrong with Lance's mock? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for X-Golf and Katy. Get on the internet right now and check out X-Golf Katy. They're the only X-Golf simulators in the Houston area. They are the best simulators I've ever been on. They are absolutely amazing, all the way down to the putting, which is realistic and can allow you to practice even on the rainiest of days or after the sun goes down. It's absolutely fantastic. And right now, aside from those great simulators, they got a couple of specials coming up they want you to know about. They got two different leagues that are going to be starting up towards the end of the month you can get in on, and then you can play golf at night with your friends in a sports bar environment on those great simulators and have a great time competing against others. It's fantastic. And then on Masters Sunday, the Sunday of the Masters, they are going to rent out all 8 of their bays, and I believe all over half of them may be already gone. But you get them from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Masters Sunday. You get all the pimento cheese sandwiches and all the food like they serve at the Masters. You can compete while you watch the actual Masters on the other screens, and it's a phenomenal event. But they're going fast, and you got to act now. Check out all that activity and so much more with specials nightly in the bar and specials with the simulators by going to X-Golf Katy. Go to X-Golf Katy on the internet. Check them out and see what everybody's talking about. You go there once. If you're a golfer, you're going to go there again and again. You go there to check it out as a sports bar, you're going to love it too.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to what's wrong with Lance's mock in a moment. A couple of Astro nuggets coming from the little media scrum. J.P. France is no longer with the Astros.
He's on leave?
He got placed on paternity leave.
Okay.
MTV Jess having a baby either tonight or tomorrow.
Oh.
They're expecting.
Call Kurt Loader.
It's kind of weird to me. Like, it's a little weird to me. Like, he's getting placed. Like, not, you're not going to use him, so I think they're kind of taking advantage of this rule.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know when the birth is happening, how are you on maternity leave?
Yeah, normally it's like within 24 hours. Like, you know that it's going down, and then you give him that grace period time. Yeah, until you know that she's like in labor, it's hard to dictate that. But I don't know if there's like some written rule or it's just a fluid case by case.
I think the Astros might be manipulating bringing up a pitcher. But, hey, that's cool. It's within the rules. I don't care. The new pitcher that they're calling up in his spot is Dylan Coleman.
So
look out, Diamond Club. Because
I was going to say, look out back in the bleachers.
Yeah, he doesn't have great command. He's going to hit the bull. And then he Toro to come out there. And then another one on another nugget from Verlander. Verlander's going to throw a bullpen in Houston on Thursday and then pitch in a minor league rehab game a few days after that. There's people speculating that it's going to be Sunday in Sugarland.
Okay.
Because I think they go on a road trip after that. So, they want him to get that in without actually having to leave the city.
I was going to say, I don't anticipate him wanting to go down to Corpus.
So, if he throws, if everything goes okay, he throws a bullpen Thursday, starts, which is not unnormal. Like, the guys throw bullpens in between their starts. So, it's not something that's, you know, rare. It's not an abnormality. Let's say he pitches in a game Sunday in Sugarland. Let's say he makes another start, let's just go with Friday, and without looking at the schedules. That would be April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's back with the Astros that following week. I'm thinking an under of April 20th.
I think sounds right. I'd be good with that.
Under April 20th.
And I think he's going to want to be out there. I mean, obviously, we've talked about the individual stats that he's chasing as well, but I think that, you know, we know that he's got, you know, a certain amount of innings that he's got to get under his belt to get his contract for next year vested. So I think that he wants to be out there. And look, he tells you all the time, he knows his body better than anybody else. And if he feels good, and feels like he's at that place where he's ready to go, then let's get him going.
There's a few people on the Twitch saying that it's a scheduled C, like they're guessing that it's a scheduled C-section. But the tweet that I read said they're expecting the baby either tonight or tomorrow. So if you're saying tonight or tomorrow, that's not a scheduled C-section,
right?
So like unless the tweet was just
unless
worded
there's
weird.
Hope that before they officially go C-section route that she can have the natural childbirth.
Like,
I don't know.
Is there a deadline sometimes? Like, I sound ignorant right now, but
I've been through two of them and they were C-sections, but I don't know that there's like,
when were they scheduled?
We had in the obviously right at the right and close to, based on where she was, it was close to the 9-month mark where they just said, look, we're going to set the date and they'll work with you on your schedule because they know the baby's fully developed. That they just set the date close to when they figured, you know.
Well, ours was a crash section. Was a terrible day, but I mean, bad but good, obviously. Yeah. Now I'm wondering, and again, I'm speaking for ignorance here. Your texters let me know. I've never given birth to a child. Is there like a drop dead? It sounds like a travel.
Yeah, I don't like to say that. Yeah.
Is there a deadline in which, like, okay, the baby hasn't come at this point? And if it doesn't come at this point, we're having a C-section the following day. Like, could that be what's happening here? I don't know.
I don't think you can let your career dictate the birth of your child, whether it be natural or C.
No. Or, I'm eliminating the profession altogether. Like, I'm saying, is there in pregnancy? Mm-hmm. Is there like, okay, we're gonna, if you have the baby naturally by April 2nd, cool, that's great, that's outstanding. But we have to have the C-section no later than April 3rd. So it's like we have this planned. This is when we're gonna do it, unless it comes naturally before that. Is that something that exists?
It sounds realistic. I don't know if it's something, if that's a thing, but. It does sound like that could be a realistic scenario where, hey, look, if you guys are hoping to have the baby naturally, then we'll go up until this point, and at that point, after we pass that threshold, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah, this is interesting.
I mean, I'm not a medical professional, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night, so that's the best I can give you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, how do they know that the baby's coming tonight or tomorrow night? Just wondering. I'm just wondering.
Cell phone.
Like, how could you know it's either one of those two nights? Like, if it was a planned C-section, it's just coming.
Kid
like,
called. The kid
day.
Called and said they want out. There you go.
This guy says yes, the baby does not come by a certain date. They induce the labor, so maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe we've cracked the case.
Mm-hmm.
He said they could be inducing labor tonight, but why would it be tomorrow night though? Like that, the fact that they said the 2 days is what's confusing me here. But they say a lot of people are saying they're inducing labor. C-sections are different than induced labor. Okay. So can you, okay. So if you start the process of induced labor tonight, maybe it just means that it starts to expedite the process.
Sounds right.
Huh?
Dr. Branham, I'll go with it.
what riveting radio for the last 7 minutes. All right, let's go from that to now what's wrong with Lance's mock. Lance Zierlein had his mock draft 3.0, by the way, for Lance Zierlein. I heard a little bit of the bench today, and Lance was getting a little bit snappy. He was getting a little sassy with those who were criticizing his mock draft.
He has a tendency to do that when he gets those people coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, he there was one part where he asked John, he goes, do you think 4 trades is a lot? And John's like, no, I don't really think so. He goes, good, because it's not. I was like, why did you even ask the question? But, yeah, he had four trades in his first round. He has Caleb Williams going number one. And just stop me whenever you hear something wrong with Lance's mock. And listeners, whenever you hear something wrong with Lance's mock, don't text us at 713-780-3776. Tweet him what's wrong with his mock.
He loves that.
He loves that. You'll be doing him a favor. Just tweet him at Lance Zierlein. Tell him what's wrong with his mock. He loves when you do that. You'll be doing him a favor. So he has Caleb Williams at one. He has Jaden Daniels at two. We still okay?
Yeah.
All right, Jaden Daniels at two. He has the New York Giants trading up to number three and selecting Drake May.
Ooh.
Are we good with that?
I think I am.
The Giants the one that do it, that doesn't?
Yeah, well, the Giants want to. I think, like we talked about, I think that Danny Dimes is going to get one more year to kind of groom the throne, and then it's going to be handed to whoever they draft.
All right, well, there you go. There's one of his four trades in the first round. His second trade's right after that. He has the Vikings trading up to number four with the Cardinals to take J.J. McCarthy.
I can see it.
Quarterback, 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 quarterback. Back to back to back to back. Right out of the gates. He has the Chargers taking Marvin Harrison Jr. at five which, I mean, the Chargers have gotten rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen.
It makes perfect sense. And if they get a guy like that to go with Harbaugh's first year trying to kind of upgrade and revamp the offense, I think they're going to be ecstatic.
The only objection that I have to that is Jim Harbaugh talks about how important the offensive line is, and there's some really good offensive linemen there at number five. So, like, yes, I could see them taking Harrison if he falls to five. I could also see them just going best tackle available because that's kind of Harbaugh's philosophy. Number six, the Patriots traded down to this pick, and they take Malik Nabers. So you get a number one quarterback there for who knows who's playing quarterback. Number one receiver for who knows who's playing quarterback. Number seven, he has Joe Alt, the tackle for Notre Dame.
Who has been married to the Chargers in a lot of drafts. So, to your point, if they were looking O-line, that would be who they'd be looking at.
And he falls to Tennessee here, who also needs a lot of O-line help. Jared Verse at number eight.
Ooh, that's high.
Yeah, that's a bit high for Jared Verse. Okay, so there's one minor what's wrong with Lance's mock. Mm-hmm. Rome Odunze goes to Chicago at number nine. They give Caleb Williams another receiver, which that offense, if they have Caleb Williams, you would still have DJ Moore. You brought in Keenan Allen. You would draft Rome Odunze. So that's a pretty good trio of receivers. And you also signed Swift.
That's right.
So, like, that's a pretty good stinking offense.
It's a huge upgrade from what they've had, to your point. Like, they are at least going to do what the Texans tried to do for the most part in year one with a rookie quarterback, is don't leave him out there by himself, because you got a good Komet at tight end. You know, if they upgrade the offensive line, at least the kid's got a chance to succeed instead of being set up for failure. Like, in a lot of people's belief, that's what happened to Fields, at least early.
Number 10, he has Brock Bowers going to the Jets. I don't think Brock Bowers is going to be a top 10 pick.
I don't think Brock Bowers to the Jets makes sense, because Aaron Rodgers is way too hard on rookies, and the expectation is Super Bowl or bust. They're gonna use veterans all over the offense at the skill positions for sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, they don't have tight end right now. Like, Brock Bowers would
they
be
signed one
for them.
I thought they signed one in free agency.
As good as Brock Bowers?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's a different story. But I thought that it was I'll have to look it up. But I thought that they went with a veteran tight end, too. But Rodgers is going to want all veterans. I think they're going to use their picks on O-line.
Yeah, if that is Rodgers' logic, and you would know better than anybody, I think it's flawed logic. Like, give me talent.
He's a princess in a lot of ways, and then a complete diva on, like, guys running precise routes.
But if he wants to win, get the better player. Mm-hmm. Number 11, he has Dallas Turner going to Arizona. Kenyon Mitchell, 12 to Denver. He's climbing up draft boards. J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle, goes to the Raiders. I don't really see anything wrong with that. Alumuwa Fashanu, Penn State tackle, goes to the Saints at 14. Byron Murphy, number 15, to the Colts. He has Brian Thomas going in a projected trade with Seattle to Arizona. So Arizona go to receiver, and Brian Thomas here.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Terrion Arnold, the Alabama corner, I like him. He goes 17 to Jacksonville. Troy Fatano, 18 to Cincinnati. Latu, number 19 to the Rams. Talese Fuaga goes number 20 to Pittsburgh. Chop Robinson, 21 to Miami. Nate Wiggins, 22 to Philly. Graham Barton, that's my guy. Graham Barton's my guy. Graham Barton goes number 23 to Seattle. Tyler Guyton, 24 to Dallas. Tyler Newbin.
So 23 would have been the Texans pick. So there was a trade there, right?
Yeah, he had a projected trade. I think this is one of the trade downs, though. He has Seattle getting this pick somehow. It says projected trade, pick required for Minnesota Vikings through Arizona Cardinals. So this was the two trade ups, okay. Seattle trading down, actually. Tyler Guyton goes 24 to Dallas. Tyler Newbin, who's been like a second round guy mentioned with the Texans with their picks, he has him going all the way to 25.
He's got him to a team that
with
doesn't
Green Bay.
Need him.
They don't need safety?
No, they just paid in free agency Xavier Watt from the Giants. They overpaid him to bring him in. They don't need a safety right now.
So you're going
corner help.
So you're going with that's a what's wrong with Lance's
mock. Yeah, that's one. I think they need corner more than they need safety.
Tyler Newbin, what's wrong with Lance's mock? Where did I finish here? 26, Amarius Mims to Washington. Kool-Aid McKinstry, 27 to Arizona. I think it's too high. I'm going to go with that's a wrong with Lance's mock. A.D. Mitchell to Buffalo at 28. That would be interesting because they signed Curtis Samuel. They like Shakir. They still have Diggs. Mm-hmm. A.D. Mitchell. Now, that might just be too good value to pass up on that, though.
And they might still be looking to shop Diggs.
Yeah, true. 29, Cooper DeJean to the Lions. No problem there. Jordan Morgan, offense tackle to Arizona to Baltimore. He knows more about trench play than I do. Darius Robinson, Missouri defensive lineman to San Fran. And then Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver from Georgia. I do have a draft crush on him.
Yeah, you
I
like
do have
him.
A draft crush. He has him going to the Kansas City at 32. And everybody thinks Kansas City needs receiver, and now they have a receiver in trouble. So
yeah, they got. I was just going to say, if they thought that before, And then they saw what happened in Dallas. They probably think that more so now because Rice is in trouble.
How many what's wrongs do we count? Like two or three?
I thought it was like four or five.
It four or five?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got four or five what's wrong with Lance's mocks. What do you think is wrong with Lance's mock? 713-78. No. Don't text it to us.
Oh, that's right.
Tweet
yeah.
it. Tweet it.
Go right
at Lance
to the source.
Zuerlein. Yeah, tweet Lance at Lance Zuerlein on Twitter what you think is wrong with his mock. He'll buy you dinner. If you do, kidding. 713-780-ESPN. Cash it or trash it. What are you cashing or trashing with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776.
Hey, before we go to the break, a moment for Vanderford Air. Vanderford Air, locally owned and operated, focused on you guys in the Houston area. And the greatest thing is they take care of one of the biggest, most important needs that everybody in Houston has. That's your HVAC, your air conditioning, your plumbing, all those major things that are great when they're working right, but are an absolute priority when they're not. And that's why you go to Vanderford Air. They've got all the guarantees, but they also have the biggest thing that you need is if something's going to go wrong with your system, whether it's a repair or a complete replacement, you call them within 24 hours, they're there. You're not waiting several days. Imagine if you're in the 100-degree Houston heat and your air conditioning goes on the fritz. Now what are you going to do? And now what if the earliest anybody can get to you is a couple days later and you're going to have to sweat it out? That's a massive problem. That doesn't happen with Vanderford Air because they understand and take into consideration what you have going on and how important it is. That means they're also going to make sure that they take out all the risk. 100% money-back guarantees across the board. No risk customer trust guarantee. That means there are five guarantees in place in writing along with a written specification of what workmanship you can expect to get. Again, whether it's a repair or a replacement, plumbing, HVAC, AC, it does not matter. The guarantees are there for you to protect you and take care of you in the best way possible. It's the best value at the lowest cost. Comfort assurance guarantee, which means even the temperature is going to be exactly where it says they say it's going to be. The workmanship is going to be guaranteed. Again, it'll work and work well. A replacement part or an overall complete system redo. Performance guarantee operates at factory standards, but the most important thing, 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back, and that's what you always want in business. That's why you go to VanderfordAir.com. Check them out, Vanderford, V-A-N-D-E-R-F-O-R-D, air.com, or call them. It's easy to remember, 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL. Get that air conditioning unit up to snuff before the heat hits here. Get it done at Vanderford Air.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash him.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash him.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a Killer Bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Hot takes, what are your overreactions? 713-780-ESPN. Get to him a second. 0834 says Lance will make you a barbecue brisket if you send him what's wrong with his mock at Lance Zuerlein. I'm not trying to punish the listeners, Texter.
Man, I mean, there's something that he's never going to outlive that.
No, he's never going to outlive that. 7716, they can force or induce labor with magnesium IV. I didn't know that. The more you know. But, yeah, it seems like a pretty general consensus. Now, based on what our texters have learned to me and based on the J.P. France giving birth tonight or tomorrow, I think that they're inducing MTV Jess's baby sometime today. Okay. That's just reading the tea leaves here.
Kurt Loder's on standby. He's going to be reporting live from the hospital.
I have no idea who that is.
Kurt Loder was always the news guy on MTV.
In the 50s?
I don't know. MTV wasn't around in the 50s, smartass.
Was that the guy that eventually started doing, like, Dateline or whatever?
That was Chris. He does ESPN stories for 30 for 30s and stuff.
Yeah, I know that guy.
No, Kurt Loder, I mean,
I think, know the face.
Yeah, he's got salt and pepper gray hair, grayish black hair. But he was kind of like the elder statesman, kind of oversaw a lot of things.
Okay, yeah, I've seen this guy.
Yeah, he would be the guy that always did MTV News.
Who's younger, you or Kurt Loder?
I would think me by a good margin, but again.
Loder was born in 45.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Had
a good run, by the way, if that's true.
Yeah, for sure. That is true. I mean, according to Wikipedia, everything you read on the internet is true. We had to induce during Super Bowl, watch Brady win a championship in the delivery room. Congratulations. Did you name your baby Brady, I wonder? All right, cash it or trash it. What are you cashing or trashing, Blinkers?
I'm going to cash the fact that the Astros are going to be in first place by May 1st.
Okay. This is, I mean, I'm going to trash it just because they're already 2.5 back. Rangers offense is legit. Yeah, I don't think they'll be in first place by May 1st. I still think they're going to win the division pretty comfortably, but I don't think they'll be in first by
You got a month. You know that Blanco pitched well. You're going to get Verlander back. Okay.
No, I mean, the Rangers offense is too good. And, like, the guy that they just brought up, the Foskey guy, might be better than Josh Young. Like, they lose Josh Young, but their little prospect dude might be even better than Josh Young.
He might have little grape syndrome in his first stint in the bigs and screw up royally and suffer and not be good, and then that could be a hole in their lineup. You never know.
That'd be their only hole.
Maybe.
Somebody tweeted this one to me earlier. Victor Caratini catching Fromber today. They're seeing how Caratini can handle the emotions of Fromber Valdez.
Yeah, I think that could be, there could be something legit there, because it takes a special psychologist type personality to be able to handle what goes on between his ears during a start. And if you take a veteran like Caratini, and we know there's a lot on the plate defensively of Yiner, I could see that being a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this. It is something worth monitoring. It is something worth watching. But I don't. This is, to me, just more of a let's get Yiner off his feet. This is an opportunity to play Yordan in left field because he's a ground ball pitcher. To me, it's more that. But it will be something that I'm watching now that it's been brought to my attention.
Yeah, don't you think that, like, because we've already said probably one start per week you're looking at minimum that Caratini gets, that you've seen what happened with one under the books for Yiner. You give each guy one start and see, hey, if there's a significant difference, that's something you monitor it, but you know you could go that route and get better results out of your second best or most important starting pitcher.
I think it's plausible, but I'm not going there yet. I will be looking, though. We had the texter earlier. Yiner Diaz gets to 3,000 hits. Cash or trash?
I'm going to trash that.
His rationale was that Yiner swings a lot, so he's not going to walk a lot, and then he makes good contact, so he's going to put the ball in play a lot. That's why Altuve is a good candidate for 3,000, because he's not a guy who strikes out a ton, and he's not a guy who walks a ton. If you don't walk a ton, you have a better chance to get hits. Yiner's kind of old, though.
I was just going to say, how old is he? Because that's
25.
That factors in a lot. You got to get an early start and play often and not get hurt, because just like 300 wins in pitching, getting 3,000 hits is going to be a thing of the past real quick.
Yeah, you have to get started super early to get 3,000 hits, so that does not bode well for Yiner. And then the second thing is his position. The fact that he's a catcher, those usually don't age that well. And also catching, I think, takes away from your offense at times. I'm curious if at some point Yiner Diaz out-hits the position. Like with Biggio, he hit too well, they moved him to second. You've seen other catchers in their careers, they hit too well, they move them away from the catcher spot. I still think there's a chance that Yiner Diaz becomes the first baseman for the Astros when Jose Abreu's time is up.
Absolutely.
Not this year, maybe not even next year, but I think Yiner could eventually be moved away from catcher just because his bat's so good.
Yeah, if your bat's good and you're a catcher, GMs are already thinking about the next step for you defensively so that you have the ability to hit for longer. There's no doubt about it.
I will cash the Yiner moves away from catcher. I will trash the 3,000 hits just because it's a late start and he's a catcher.
I'm trashing it because of the same reason. At 25, and you know his first stint in the bigs was a part-time role, and now you like the way he started off, but now he's got to consistently kind of carry that torch for a long period of time and stay healthy and do a lot of other things. I think he's going to have a great career. I just don't think he's going to get to 3,000 hits.
1-2-4-4, cash or trash. Yiner hits 40 bombs this season.
Ooh. I'm going to say he finishes. I'm going to trash it, but I'm going to say he's going to be close. I think he's going to be in the 30s.
Yeah, that one's high, but he did hit 23 homers last year and 377 plate appearances.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he hits 40s high. I think he'll be in the 30s.
Yep.
I think he'll be in the 30s. I think 40s a bit high. I would sign Yiner Diaz to a contract extension today, though, and I mean that sincerely.
Pretty much, as much as I've been hesitant on Pena, I definitely would be on that train for Yiner.
Give me Yiner Diaz 10-year contract today. I'd be thrilled. Eric, Fromber is the fourth best pitcher on the Astros, and that's not including Blanco. You mean starter or overall?
Yeah, that's
I guess
good,
he means starter.
I think he means starter too. I mean, after one start, it's easy to say that, but you look at his recent history and go, I don't know how you can even think that, because of even you know, a really good first half last year. I think that's too quick to say he's your fourth best pitcher.
Yeah, I actually was pretty encouraged by Frommer's first start. I know the final line wasn't very good, but he was getting swing and miss. He was getting ground balls. He allowed zero hard contact. He just couldn't command his stuff, and his stuff was good that day. Like, his stuff was so good, he couldn't command it. Ocho, I'm catching this roasted chicken I'm eating from Luby's and this strawberry jello, the dessert of men. How old are you, Ocho? 70? You're eating the Luan platter at 440.
I mean, either 70 or 7, because who gets jello for dessert?
Facts. When was the last time you had Luby's?
Oh, wow. I think when I lived in Midtown, which is at least 10 years ago, there was one on, I think it's Wah. Yeah, no, it's been at least 10 years.
The 10 years?
Yeah.
That's nuts. That's a long time ago. I think I've probably eaten it within the last 5 years. I think most of them went out of business, though.
Yeah, they have been going under, but is that something that's a go-to for you that you think, well, let's go get some food. I'm going to Luby's?
No, I mean, I said within the last 5 years. No, the answer to that's no. 10 years is a long time. If I'm going to Luby's, though, I'm not getting the roasted chicken.
I'll tell you that.
So I'm going to trash the roasted chicken. I'm going to trash the Jell-O. I think they do a cheesecake at Luby's, so I'll go with that for my dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm going with entree, I'm going with that little cheese steak they did. They had that little flat cheese steak. A hamburger or whatever. It wasn't a steak.
Like a Salisbury steak, but they had... Yeah.
It was like cheese on top of it, a little bit of green onions. Might have been scallions. I don't know. I don't know the difference.
Now, I won't go that way, but a lot of people speak highly of their meatloaf.
Really?
Yep.
Who, Blum?
I don't know about Blum. I just know that people that I know that used to go to Luby's used to say that their meatloaf was pretty good.
Well, I said it because it says Ma the Meatloaf, which is a ripoff of Ma the Meatloaf. It's a ripoff of Wedding Crashers.
That's Vince Vaughn,
right?
And
that hockey guy did it, too. No, it was
Will Ferrell.
The hockey guy did it, too. That hockey guy with all those phrases like waka waka or like who is your dad?
The play-by-play guy for the
Panthers?
Florida Panthers, yep.
Was it Florida? Yeah, he would do the Ma the Meatloaf, too. So Blummers took it from one of those two guys. With Chaz McCormick.
Right. Imitation, best form of flattery.
Facts. 4072, if the Yankees and the Astros made the playoffs, Yankees finally defeat the Astros in advance.
I'm going to say trash that. I'm going to say that by the time we get to the playoffs, it's going to be a different Astros team than we saw to open the season week one. So I will trash that. And it's a different mentality in the playoffs, as we know, and the Yankees know who their daddy is.
Exactly. Trash that. Chop steak. Somebody texted us. It was a chop steak.
Okay.
The chop steak was good. I'm kind of craving that chop steak right now. What was your sides from Luby's? What would you go with?
Their mashed potatoes were good. Their mac and cheese was good. I'm trying to think if there was anything else side-wise.
I would get the mashed potatoes. I would rotate on the second side. Sometimes the mac, sometimes the broccoli with
broccoli,
cheese.
Yep.
The cheese was like bright orange. You remember?
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't cheese, but they called it cheese. 4741's Luby is the bad word. Fried fish. Square fried fish or chicken fried steak. The chicken fried steak at Luby's was pretty good. Wasn't there an old place that was like
Luby's?
I was
just trying
to
think of it. Right over there.
Was it Wyatt's?
No. Well, the one that's right on the other side of 59 from the old Compact Center, Claiborne's. Claiborne's was big with Rockets players during lunchtime after practice, which was like a Luby's style.
Yeah. I think it's still around, isn't it?
I think it burnt down a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if they rebuilt it or not, but I want to say it burnt down a couple years ago.
I'm thinking more mainstream Luby cafeteria.
Oh.
Like whenever I was like 5. I think it was called Wyatt's.
I've never heard of Wyatt's. Yeah.
Somebody out there knows. 713-780-3776. All right, that's what our cash and trash it is. All right, I had a fraud alert over the weekend. It's a doozy of a story. What's the strangest fraud alert you've ever had? 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. What's the strangest fraud alert you've had? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Look, Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. You don't have to know what that is. Just know that if you're losing your hair, you've lost your hair, you don't think there's any going back if it starts to go away, you got to talk to Doc Linville and his staff because there is a solution. It's your own hair, and it is a game changer. The fact of the matter is, as Doc explained to me, no matter how much you go bald on the top in the front or on top in the back or at other places of your head, the sides and the back are always going to have hair. Genetically, that's just the way it goes. So he takes some of that hair that you're never going to lose, puts it where you already lost it or you're losing it, and suddenly you see results. You'll see the full results in 6 to 9 months, but the results are a game changer. You get your hair back, you get your confidence back, and you like the way you look. As an ESPN listener, you get a consultation with Doc and his staff for absolutely free. It normally costs $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. Go in, set up, go onto the website, set up an appointment, go in, ask questions, get answers. That's it. There's nothing on the commitment side. There's no signing on the dotted line. There's no money out of pocket. You just go in, ask questions, get answers. They explain the procedure. You see if it's right for you. It was right for me, and it was right for so many more. And I cannot speak highly enough about the fact that it works. It's a game changer, and I couldn't be happier with the NeoGraft. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell them I sent you by.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What's the strangest fraud alert you've ever had? 713-780-3776. A lot of people are saying Piccadilly's. The text line did confirm that Wyatt's was the one that I was talking about.
Okay.
Claiborne did burn down, but according to the text line, they rebuilt it.
Oh, good.
And some people are saying it's the best chicken fried steak in town. I love chicken fried steak. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Claiborne's was big with Big Shot Bob and a lot of our players.
I went there once. I went there once, but I can't remember what I ordered. And it's been several years since I went there. All right, so over the weekend, I got a fraud alert. I got a text message, fraud alert. What is your strangest? 713-780-3776. Someone hacked in, you know, Blanker, I shouldn't laugh at this. It cost me $51 and a headache because I had to cancel my credit cards. Just capped off a fantastic week.
Yeah.
But someone hacked into my Panda Express mobile app.
You are a connoisseur.
I mean, I bring in Panda Express every so often. Give me the black pepper chicken.
Every so often. Chicken. It's pretty frequent.
The string bean chicken's not bad either. I do the super green, so I'm eating healthy. I get a fraud alert saying, do you authorize $51.60 at Panda Express?
Damn.
So I'm like, no.
Joe got your card?
Someone from Arizona, Litchfield Park, Arizona. They're in Arizona. It tells me the address of this place. Camelback in Litchfield in Arizona.
Ooh, Camelback's nice.
Not only did they spend $51.60, but they also cleared out my Panda points. Like, not only do I have to get a whole new credit card sent to my house and all of this, but they cleared out my Panda points, and I like my Panda
That's
points.
That's dirty.
Here's their order, their $51.60 order. They ordered a bigger plate with chow mein, orange chicken. They ordered another bigger plate with chow mein, honey walnut shrimp. They ordered another bigger plate with Beijing beef. And they ordered the chief rangoons, the cream cheese, large, 12 pieces of them. Like, these people just ate a bigger plate, and 12 pieces of cream cheese rangoon.
They're beating your ass, too, if you go after them.
Unbelievable. They're all high. Well, like, I hope that was more than one person sharing all this.
They might not be high. They just might be bigs.
Yeah, and then they cleaned out my Panda points and got a bigger plate with my Panda points, and they got chow mein, grilled teriyaki chicken, kung bao chicken, and black pepper chicken. Unbelievable. And then the credit card was great. You know, they refunded me. They sent me the new one. We stopped all of this. Panda was fine. But I asked Panda today because they sent me an email. I go, what about my Panda points? Can you reimburse me my Panda points? I need my Panda points. I haven't heard back.
They better, if you're that loyal of a customer that I can attest to, they should be able to do that. Go back to the last possible date in which it was you and not them and see exactly what it should be and do the right thing here.
This is devastating. My Panda points are gone. So what's the strangest fraud alert that you've had? 713-780-3776. Have you had this happen to you?
I've had a different – I actually, when I was still working for the Rockets, I had taken some people out after a Rockets game. And all of a sudden, like, I started getting fraud alerts that I was buying pizza and I was from a place that strategically was, like, in Midtown and doing all these other things. And I'm going, wait a minute, no, I'm not. And so – I put a stop to it like you did, and I got a new card, And then I was like, no, you know what? They're not going to get away with this either. I need to trace this. So at the Rockets games, as you know, there's a lot of HPD guys and guy off-duty HPD guys. I go, hey, who do I talk to about this? They go, oh, no. We've got someone for fraud alert that we can get on this. And I was like, all right, cool. So I talked to them. They go back and start looking. The dumbass paid his cable bill with my credit card. So they had the address. They had everything. And then, I don't know, they were like, you got to be careful now because these guys like to get revenge if they find out they got. I'm like, well, they took my card. Of course I'm going to try and get them. And the dude knew where I worked but didn't know where I lived. And he did one of those things where you can, from a caller ID perspective, you can make it look like you're calling from someplace else. Called my office at the Rockets and said, hey, man, we got these 10 pizzas you ordered from the place that he was ordering pizza from. And he said, I want to know where you live because I'm delivering them no matter what, and I need your home address. And I basically told him to get you know what and was like, yeah, you ain't getting that. Nice try. And then it turns out, I think I found out later that they actually got him for the crime. But I was like, how dumb do you have to be to pay your stupid cable bill with my credit card?
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. That's a dumb criminal there. It doesn't surprise me at all that you try to track them down.
No doubt. You know I am that way, just like I know your Panda Express. You know that I don't take those kind of things lightly.
Yeah, my Panda points. I've had a couple of Panda points.
How much?
They get you food. I mean, they got these criminals a bigger plate.
How many points do you get per your meal? And then how many points do you need to get what you want to get?
I don't track the math. I think that they took like 11,000 points.
Damn. It seems excessive.
11,000. I think it was 11,000 points because I only have 969 left, and I can't get anything with 969 points. You can get a bigger play with 11,690. I know that.
Well, those points are flying around like nothing. Then, if you're getting that many points that quickly,
I would recommend though, don't put your credit card information to any of these food apps. Like, try to you can do this because you don't have an iPhone, but try to do the Apple Pay. Apple Pay is so much better.
Volunteer to buy me an iPhone the other day because of the emojis and things that I don't get because I'm like, go right ahead. I'll take it.
Who's your money bags friend that's willing to buy you an iPhone for that?
Someone I used to work with.
I mean, I'm annoyed when people don't have iPhones because it's green and not blue. That's it. That's like the reason that I get annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to buy somebody an iPhone because I want to trade emojis with them.
I wasn't begging for it, but if it's volunteered up, I'll certainly take it.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing your friend and the company.
Maybe I'm just that good of a friend.
Can that really be it?
Yeah.
You got money back
friends. Maybe it's someone that I've taken care of over the years. You don't know.
This isn't the first time that I've had. Like, I can't remember the other occasions, but there's been like two or three other times where somebody like gets my credit card information and buys like random things.
I've said previously, and I've said this with Lisa as well, you have to feel really bad for like the elderly and people that are still like the fact that we've gotten several emails where the email legitimately looks like it's from a bank or it's from Amazon. And unless you go in and click on the actual sender information to see that it says Amazon, it looks like Amazon, but the actual email address is some rando, you know, number and letter combination. It's easy to fall for the way you can get set up on the internet these days.
Yeah, I think the Panda guy actually sent me like a link and like how this stuff happens, and it's all like the social media accounts. Like, they sell your information. Like, I learned today that Facebook last year sold like all the information to Netflix for like $100 million.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. 0375. Someone bought a horse corral using my Discovery card. $16,000. I live in a residential neighborhood. Discover waived the charge. That's good that they waived the charge. Credit cards are usually pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
But $16,000. Could you imagine when you opened up your account and you see $16,000 on a horse?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's weird. 1172. I thought I was alone. Someone in New York hacked my Subway account. They used my dang points. That's your fault for having a Subway account. That place is terrible. Just kidding. Unless you want to sponsor the show, that place is terrible. I'm not a big Subway guy. 8532, I put $800 deposit down on some rims, and a week later the business was locked up and gone.
So you paid and didn't get the product?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
2568, I constantly get emails about resetting my password for food apps. Luckily, I don't save my credit card info on all those apps. I would highly recommend that. As a guy who is a victim to this mobile fraud, me, the victim, trying to advocate to all of you to not be a victim. This is going to be the thing that I stand on. I highly recommend not to put your credit card information in those apps. Use Apple Pay. Apple Pay's got an additional layer of security, and I think that they will save you. Save you better than
I will add to this too. Don't open a tab at your, even if it's your favorite watering hole, don't open a tab, because that is the easiest way for people to get you and start going to town.
Yeah. Uncle Barney says they have to waive the charge. It's a law. There you go. That's good to have Uncle Barney on your side to let you know those sort of things. Two-form authentication will be your friend. That's too. I'm too lazy for two forms. I'm good for one form, and that's about it. All right. You can keep telling us what your strangest fraud alert you've had. Also, yesterday was great at Minute Maid Park. You had the no-hitter for Ronel Blanco. Astros have more no-hitters than the rest of Major League Baseball since the summer of 2022. The Astros busted out for 10 runs, 5 homers in that game. Kyle Tucker, double-dong game. Yiner Diaz, double-dong game. Jeremy Pena, his first dong since last July. Would you have taken the 4-game loser, if I told you at the start of the year, Blankers and Hive, 713-780-3776, if I told you at the start of the year, you have to take a 4-game series sweep to the Yankees, but you get last night with the no-hitter with the 5 home runs. Would you have taken that? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.